All right. Wonderful to see you guys. Hope you're doing good tonight. Welcome to everyone. Glad you're here. And threw you a curveball with a new seating arrangement. I'll have to talk about that on Sunday as well. There's a reason for this. This wasn't just to test you to see whether or not if somebody moved your seat, you'd get upset. That's a real test, isn't it? Hey, they moved my seat. And notice it's your seat. It's not just a seat at the church. It is your seat. You own it. Amen. That was a rebuke. No, I'm just kidding. That's because we're having fun. The reason we did it is because what's happening is that, as you guys know, the aisles were so long, it was hard to get people in the middle, and we're needing more seating. So by cutting this in here, now people can still sit toward the ends and get down to the middle and get in. It's just making it easier for everybody to get in and out of the aisles. And so there's a logic to all of it. But anyway, you're still able to sit in your same general area and maybe your same seat. So that's good for you. So anyway, if you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Jeremiah chapter 28. We're only doing Jeremiah chapter 28 tonight because tonight is communion night. We're going to have a great time and just seeking the Lord, remembering his body, his blood, what he's done for us. And again, just kind of letting God speak to us in an afterglow. If you're new and you don't know what an afterglow is, we'll fill you in on that when we get there. But let's pray and ask God to bless our time in his word. So Lord, we thank you for tonight. I'm so excited just to be with you, with your people, and to hear what you're going to say. Who knows what you'll do tonight? Lord, you're a great God and you rule the universe. You can do whatever you want. Lord, show yourself strong tonight. Lord, manifest yourself. Just show us your power and your glory. Lord, through your word and through your spirit, show us your love. And God, help us to love you. And I pray you would just, again, feed us and teach us from Jeremiah chapter 28. So bless it, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we come to Jeremiah 28, again, Jeremiah, through a lot of Jeremiah, has been fighting these false prophets, and this is a section of false prophets. We'll see it next week when we get into 29 as well. 28 is kind of a dramatic false prophet moment, and there's always false prophets. Every generation has them. I think there's different reasons that people do false prophecy. I think it's some people know what they're doing, and they simply want to seem authoritative. They want to be important. I'm the prophet. I'm the one. Look to me. I'm the spiritual authority. So they try to take spiritual authority rather than allowing God to give it to them. And it's taken by just taking a name. I'm a prophet. Well, you know, we'll find out. We'll see if God's spirit's really working through you and if what you're saying comes to pass, etc. And of course, prophecy, again, remember, there are no prophets per se today. There's the gift of prophecy that is part of the spiritual gifts, but there's not the office of a prophet. And we've talked about that before. There were actually those who walked in the office of a prophet because the Holy Spirit was not yet given. And because the Holy Spirit was not yet given, God would raise up a man or sometimes a prophetess, and God would anoint them and he would speak to the people through that person. Now, he still does that today, okay, but not in the office. That is, this person's a prophet, and they're in that position or whatever. Now you just have the gift of prophecy. How do we know there's no longer prophets today in the sense of the office of a prophet, like Elijah, Elisha, and all that, as some people claim? Because Jesus said that John was the greatest prophet that ever lived, and the prophets were what? Until John, which means John was the last biblical prophet in the sense of the office of a prophet, like Elijah, Jeremiah, etc. So nobody can claim today to be like Jeremiah. Nobody can claim today to be like Elijah. Oh, they do. They do. Trust me. But they can't biblically make that claim anymore. It is an unbiblical assertion. And so Jeremiah was dealing with guys who were saying, though, that they were biblical prophets, that they were. And like I said, there's some people that I think do it just for authority. I think there's some people that are well-meaning, and they really want to be used by God, so they trust their feelings. It's kind of like, almost like the force, and you know, they close their eyes and they feel it. And so God's telling me, and there it is, and that's from God. Well, maybe not. We can't go by feelings. God speaks very clearly. When it's God, he speaks very, very clearly. As a matter of fact, when God speaks prophetically, God speaks 100% accuracy. I was going to wait till later on to do this, but let's start out. Flip back to Deuteronomy. You can keep your spot marked here. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 18, because I don't want to flip in the middle of the study. I want you to see this. When it comes to a prophet, if you will, or someone who says, thus saith the Lord. Now, how does this work today? Chapter 18. If somebody says today, I feel like God's put something on my heart, and they have a gift of prophecy, then we're to receive that. The gift of prophecy is still real today. And people speak prophetically in two ways. Foretelling, which is stuff in the future, and forthtelling, which is just hearing the word of God. It works both ways in the New Testament. And I'm not going to take the time to jump into examples of that tonight because that's not what the purpose is. But as far as the gift, as far as the prophecy goes, it's different when someone would say, thus saith the Lord. And the prophets that walked in the office of a prophet, they would say, thus saith the Lord, because God would supernaturally show them. He would either give them a vision, a dream, he would speak to them, and they knew, when I'm speaking, I am speaking for God Almighty. Now, do you see how serious that is? If I say, thus saith the Lord, and I began to say something to you guys, if God hadn't said it, do you see how serious that is? I'm putting myself in the position of the mouthpiece of God Almighty, which can affect all of your lives radically if you believe me. What if I'm not really hearing God's voice? Not only am I going to be in trouble with God, but at the same time, you're going to be misled because you believed I was a prophet of God, okay? And again, we have these guys today. You've heard about the new apostolic reformation. Maybe you've heard about this movement. This is not new. They call it new, where they have all these prophets who say, thus saith the Lord. They say they're speaking for God. They're not saying I have the gift of prophecy. They are saying I am in the office of a prophet. Very different thing, very unbiblical. Be very careful. New apostolic reformation. Now, it's not new, it's old. This has been going on since the beginning of the church. Matter of fact, this last time this wind blew through, and by the way, the Bible says not to be swayed back and forth or blown back and forth by every wind of doctrine that blows through the church. And the last time I saw this real kind of, I'm a prophet, you're a prophet, wouldn't you like to be a prophet too, was back in the 70s. It was back in the 70s. And they got so strict about it, they would tell you what you could buy, what you could eat, where you could live. The prophet was the authority. They literally walked almost like God in human form. Okay? God hates that. That's unbiblical. You have one God. You have one Lord. He's Jesus Christ. You have brothers and sisters around you that have a gift of prophecy. Praise the Lord for that. Tonight we'll have an afterglow. You'll probably be scared to death to use it, even if God puts something on your heart after what I've said. As long as you don't say, thus saith the Lord, you're in safe territory. You can say, I really believe that God is saying he's going to do this. That's okay to say. It's okay for me to say, I really believe that President Trump's going to win the election. That's okay for me to say. But if I say, thus saith the Lord, President Trump's going to win the election, and he doesn't, what if I just identified myself as a false prophet? So why would you continue to listen to that person? You should never listen to that person again. They just identified themselves. So don't be afraid to express what you feel God put in your heart, because God does that. He gives words of knowledge. He gives words of prophecy, okay? Just don't say, thus saith the Lord, unless you know for a fact, thus has said the Lord. Matter of fact, I would never use that myself terminology. Just be, you know what? I really believe God is saying that this year he's going to do this. And you'll see that prophecy is very, very specific. It'll be detailed when it's really a prophecy from God. Now, it has to be 100% accurate to be from God. And back in the 70s, they bragged that they were 70% accurate. And now the new apostolic reformation, they're bragging that some of their prophets are even higher, maybe 80%, maybe 90% accurate. It's still a false prophet, my friends. It's still a false prophet. Mark, where's that in the Bible? Deuteronomy chapter 18, starting in verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me. This is speaking of Jesus Christ prophetically. From your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear, according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb on the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. This is when Moses was up on the mountain and the people wanted just Moses to be the spokesman because God was too scary. Verse 18, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren. Again, speaking of Jesus futuristically, and will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, note that, I will require it of him. So you're in big trouble if you don't listen to Jesus or this future prophet, which we now know is the Lord. Now here's the change. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has spoken? So how do we know if somebody's really speaking prophetically or not? Here's the answer. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. In other words, he's a false prophet. Stop giving him that honor. He's not real. He's a fake. He's trying to get attention. He wants to seem important. He wants to speak authoritatively and take authority to himself. God didn't send him. God didn't put him there is his point. So what he's saying is, if it doesn't come to pass, translation, that means 100% accurate. You can't be 99.9% and say you're saying, thus saith the Lord. If God is really speaking, guys, it will be exactly as God said it. It'll be detailed, it'll be exact. I think I've probably belabored that point, but that's important to understand because now Jeremiah, and you can flip back to chapter 28, now Jeremiah is going to deal with these guys who are claiming they are prophets. And the people are going, all right, how do we know who's telling the truth? Is it Jeremiah? Is it this guy? Who's telling the truth? And Jeremiah is going to refer really back to chapter Deuteronomy 18 here in just a minute by saying, look, if it's truly a prophet, it'll come to pass. If not, it won't come to pass, and you can identify it. And they don't, again, we're not to do that today, but back in that day, they would put them to death. It was such a serious thing to God. God says, nobody's going to speak and say, I'm saying it when I'm not. And if they do, then you're to put them to death. Because what that does is it leads people astray, believing that God is telling them to do it. So it's a very serious, serious thing to just throw around the thus saith the Lord. That's serious. And if your prophets aren't 100% accurate, they're not prophets. And if they have a gift of prophecy, then God will make those accurate. But they need to say, you know what? God has put this on my heart for you. I believe I'm supposed to tell you this. It will come to pass because that's the true gift of prophecy. So notice what happens here in the middle of this. Again, Jeremiah is warning them they're going to be taken captive. They've already gone into Babylon. A section of them, a portion of the nation has already gone to Babylon. He's letting them know that Nebuchadnezzar is going to come back and get the rest of them. And these false prophets are saying, no, that's not going to happen. God's not only going to leave the rest of us here, he's going to bring everybody that went back. And he's going to bring all the things they took from the temple, which we saw in Daniel chapter 5, where Belshazzar, you know, partied with them. He's going to bring all those vessels back, right? So they're giving this false prophecy that's directly going against God. God is saying, this is the way I'm going. And they're going exactly the opposite direction. And this is why God gets so upset about it and why it's such a serious thing. And so what happened there, verse 1, in the same year, at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur the prophet, who was from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord, notice this, in the presence of the priests. He's going to make this public proclamation to look really important and really spiritual. And all the people, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts. Now, once you did that, you're claiming this is God Almighty speaking from heaven. That's why God said, if it's not accurate, that guy's to be put to death. Because nobody's going to speak for me that's not really for me. So that's once you make that phraseology, once that comes out of our mouth, it better be God. He says, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I've broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. And this goes exactly contrary to Jeremiah. So what he's saying is, by saying this right here, he's saying Jeremiah is a false prophet. Because Jeremiah was saying, you're going to have a yoke of Babylon on you. And now he comes and goes, no, I've broken the yoke. Jeremiah is a false prophet. I am the true prophet. So Jeremiah recognizes what's going on. And notice this, all true prophecy will be specific. It's never general. It's always specific if it's from God, because he gives details. But what's interesting, this guy gives details, but they're not details from God. He's trying to sound like the real thing. And he's learned what the real thing sounds like, so he's mimicking it. Notice verse 3, within 2 full years, I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. And I will bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah who went to Babylon, says the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. So he literally just rebelled against God. God said he's going to do everything he said God's not going to do. And he's in rebellion to God, and not only in rebellion to God, he's standing in front of the people saying, hey, I'm your new spokesman for God. Forget this Jeremiah guy. It's me, and here's what God's really saying. So again, you get the idea of how serious this is in God's eyes. Well, Jeremiah doesn't know. I mean, Jeremiah does know, but Jeremiah's going to wait to let it play out, is how I should say it. And look at verse 5. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests, in the presence of all the people who stood in the house of the Lord. There they all heard this. Jeremiah was there. They're all looking at Jeremiah like, yeah, what about you, you know, Mr. Prophet Jeremiah? He's saying it's going to be something different. Nah, 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 right? And so the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. Amen, the Lord do so. You know what? I hope you're right. May your words really be from God. Maybe God changed his mind, Hananiah. Maybe God changed his mind, which of course he didn't. He says, amen, the Lord do so. The Lord perform your words which you prophesied to bring back the vessels of the Lord's house and all who were carried away captive from Babylon to this place. Nevertheless, here's the true prophet. Hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who have been before me and before you of old prophesied against many countries and great kingdoms. He's reminding them now of all the great prophets in the past. They prophesied of war and disaster and pestilence. As for the prophet who prophesied peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, there it is, the prophecy will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent. So he's saying, all right, you want to know if it's really, if Hananiah is telling the truth? Here's how we knew in the past. Deuteronomy tells us, and we looked at all the prophets, and if what they said came to pass, they proved themselves to be a true prophet. See, that's why Samuel was so feared, because the Bible says that God didn't let one word fall from Samuel that didn't come to pass. Now, not in his normal life, but whenever he prophesied in the name of the Lord. And what you would do is, once people said, thus saith the Lord, and it kept coming to pass, you realize, this is a real prophet. This is a real prophet. That's how you knew. So you didn't have to wonder, is God really saying that? You knew for a fact God was saying it. Well, up to this point, everything Jeremiah has said has come to pass. So the people should have been saying, well, very clearly, Jeremiah is a real prophet. That's what they should have been saying. But instead, they're going, well, you know, Jeremiah did say this, but now Hananiah is saying that, because they didn't want to hear the real prophet. They didn't want to hear what God was saying. They wanted to hear what they wanted to hear. He says, all right, great, amen, praise the Lord. You're a real prophet. If it comes to pass, then we know that you're a real prophet. I'm the false prophet. I'm the fake. Let's just see what happens. Then notice this. Now Hananiah gets bold. He gets bold. Yeah. He agreed with me. Yeah, I am the prophet. And now the chest probably goes up higher and the nose goes a little higher in the air and the pride gets greater. Then Hananiah, the prophet, took the yoke off of Jeremiah's neck and broke it. By the way, Jeremiah's been walking around wearing this thing for a long time. You know, don't miss that right there. You know, here comes Jeremiah walking in. He's still wearing this thing, you know. Yeah, okay, all right, you're the real guy? Then all right. You know, I wonder what it was like when he put a robe on, you know. All right? Anyway, I'm sorry. I can feel it. I can feel that. You're not feeling it with me. Go on, Mark, go on. I'm not feeling it. But he's wearing this thing. Everywhere he goes, he's wearing it. Why? Because God would use the prophets like a video. He said, I want the people to see what I'm saying to them. So Jeremiah, you act it out. You live it out. So they would put these yokes on and these kind of things. So he's wearing this yoke, and he comes over and grabs the yoke. To be real dramatic, right? He comes over, he busts the yoke off of him and makes this big scene. No doubt he smashed it on the ground, and Jeremiah's just letting him do it, going, what's this guy doing? And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, thus says the Lord, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Now think about the mockery there. Look at Jeremiah staring at him going, you know, you said you were the prophet. Looks like this guy got the best of you. He boldly spoke in the name of the Lord. He grabbed your crazy yoke you're, you know, walking around with. He smashed it on the ground. And Jeremiah, just in humility, walked off. He said, all right, let's see what God does. He just walked off. And notice this. But God spoke to Jeremiah. He says, now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from the neck of the prophet of Jeremiah. He said, you go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus says the Lord. Okay, you're claiming thus says the Lord. Now I'm the one speaking for God. Thus says the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you've made in their place yokes of iron. In other words, there's a yoke on you. You can break wood, but this is going to be something you cannot break. I've spoken. It is my word. You're going to be judged. It's on you. The nation will be judged. He's about to pronounce judgment on Hananiah. And by the way, there's a biblical principle here, guys, we need to grasp, and that is this. God puts different yokes on us in stuff he's doing in our life, different authorities. You know, like we have our mom and dad as we're growing up. In a sense, that's a yoke. The yoke kind of controls us and directs, you know, the way it would an animal when they're plowing. And then you go into school and your teachers kind of have a yoke, if you will, then the police and your whole culture and society, they're kind of there. And for the people that accept the yoke that God gives them and says, all right, I'm coming under authority, I'm going to walk under the direction of those you've given me, Lord, and I'm going to be obedient to you and to those that I know you've put in my life. Everything will be fine. But for those who rebel against that, I've seen God do this. I've seen him take a yoke of iron, take that other one, put a yoke of iron on them. And what do I mean by that? Well, I mean, it just, you know what? Now it's going to get tougher. I remember years ago seeing a young man that was on a path of rebellion, and I knew I could just, this guy's in trouble. And I shared my heart with him. I said, look, if you keep down this path, I said, it's not only going to destroy your life. I said, if you don't stop down this path, I said, God puts authorities at different levels of life. If you don't respond to your parents, then God will use your teachers. If you don't respond to your teachers, then God will use the police. If you don't respond to the police, God will put you in jail. He ended up in jail. And I remember, you know, just when I heard that, hey, he got arrested. Well, it didn't surprise me, or at least got in trouble legally. I don't know if he's in jail now, but got in trouble legally, and I think they said he ended up going to jail, but he definitely got in trouble with the police. The bottom line is you can't do that. God will put these things in there. If you say, I'm breaking the yoke, I'm going to live my own life, I'm not going to listen to God, I'm not going to listen to my parents, I'm not going to listen to the authorities, that yoke will be replaced. The one that you break off and go running free, God's going to replace it with a yoke of iron. He's going to make sure that you learn how to walk under the proper authority. God, he doesn't let us get away with this stuff, especially his own kids. And he says to here, yours is going to be a yoke of iron. You took the yoke off of me, but in reality, Hananiah, the yoke's on you. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. So you can't break this yoke. I have given him the beasts of the field also. And then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you. So see, God spoke to Jeremiah very clearly. He said, "This, I'm going to tell you what's going on. I'm speaking here." God spoke to him very clearly and said, you know what? The Lord hasn't sent you, but you make this people trust in a lie. Again, this is why this is such a big deal. It's not just something casual. No, they're trusting in this. You're saying it's from God, and they're trusting in a lie. He says, therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will cast you from the face of the earth. Now, remember earlier, he said, within 2 full years, everybody's going to come back. Listen to what Jeremiah says now. This year, you shall die because you've taught rebellion against the Lord. Wow. You talk about the authority of the prophet. Now, he said, look, let's find out if what Hananiah is saying comes to pass, okay? Everybody's, yeah, Hananiah, we stand with him because we don't want to hear Jeremiah's message, so we're standing with him. He said, all right, that's fine. You guys want to stand there? He said, but if this is God, Hananiah's going to die this year. He's not going to make it through the rest of this year. I would think Hananiah would have to be a little bit nervous after that because he knew in his heart that he was making all this up. I think some people can be so deceived by the emotions that they think maybe it is God. It's interesting. It talks about false prophets in another place in the Bible, and it says they give their false prophecy and they hope that it will come to pass. Guys, if it's from God, you don't have to hope that it's going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass. It's interesting, this movie that is about to come out about Calvary Chapel, the Calvary Chapel movement. You know, Pastor Chuck, part of his testimony was when he took over the Calvary Chapel in California, there was like 25 people attending there at that time, and he came from a larger church and took that church over, and he said they were having an afterglow like we're going to have here in a moment, and someone gave a word of prophecy, and they were like, and I don't think he prefaced how it was they said it, but they just said, God, you know, is going to use you as a pastor of pastors and exponentially just, you know, make this movement explode. Well, okay, if it's from God, then it's going to come to pass, right? And so he just kind of held that in his heart, and boom, it took off. And God did exactly what he said he was going to do. So if it's the Lord, you just kind of hold it and you wait, and you'll find out whether it's God. And that's exactly what happened with Pastor Chuck. Well, again, here he says, you're giving lies and you're spreading lies and you've taught rebellion against the Lord, so you're going to die. And look what it says in verse 17. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. Wow. You know, I want to be careful with this last thing I'm going to say about Pastor Chuck. It's another Pastor Chuck story, and you may have heard me say it before. I want to be careful about it when I say it, because I don't think that necessarily if somebody pretends to be a prophet of God today and they give a false prophecy that God just strikes them dead. Okay, this was a time where you just didn't do that and say you're a prophet of God, because everyone knew that you're either a prophet or you're not. Okay. We don't even see necessarily a gift called the gift of prophecy in the Old Testament. It was just, you're either a prophet or you're not. And when the office of a prophet disappeared with John the Baptist, who was the last one, he said the prophets were until John. Then after that, we see that what was given was a gift of prophecy, right? Which some of you in this room no doubt have. Some of you have the gift of prophecy. You probably never ever use it around me. You're scared to death now. But Don't be scared to use it. You know, when I speak firmly about this, I'm talking about those people that are proclaiming to speak for God and they're leading the flock astray. And as a pastor, I get upset about that. You know, that kind of riles me up, okay? So I speak firmly about it. But if you've got that gift, it's a beautiful gift. You need to use it. Don't be afraid of it. All the gifts are from the Lord and they need to be used. But there was an instance one time where somebody stood up at Pastor Chuck. I mean, did it? My understanding is, I hope I'm relaying this correctly, that somebody stood up in a service, during a service, interrupted Pastor Chuck and said, within 1 week, you're gonna die or whatever. Thus saith the Lord. And everybody was just kind of like frozen, kind of looking at this guy. And, you know, I'm sure knowing Pastor Chuck that they had a team of men escort him out because he kept order pretty good, you know, in his services. And I doubt Chuck was worried about it. You know, I mean, he knew he was doing what God called him to do. But the really amazing thing about that is a week later to the day, that man died. A week later to the day. Now, if that didn't put a fear in your heart, you're like, okay, I'm not going to say thus saith the Lord, you know, whatever. But I'm not saying, but here's why I said I don't want to be careful with that, because I'm not saying that everybody that says that will. I think there have been even, I think, well-meaning Christians that may be immature and maybe young and not taught well, and they'll do that and not realize what they're doing. And then God begins to minister to them and say, look, you can't be doing that. And here's why, right? I think that's really more specifically speaking to those back in the Old Testament who took that upon themselves, that mantle, so to speak, declaring that they were a voice for God. And then I think, you know, I'd be very careful myself for those today who know better and they're saying that God is telling them stuff to say and whatever. I would be very, very cautious in that. And again, I think for us as a body, you know, learn to recognize if somebody's declaring that they're speaking for God and it doesn't happen, ignore that person. You know, don't keep following them online or doing whatever. Just let it go, because if it's truly of the Lord, it doesn't have to be sensational. It doesn't have to be whatever. It's just, wow, they said it and that happened. And you'll see the different gifts in their life that are taking place. And so, you know, a heavy passage in a lot of ways in chapter 28. A lot of stuff here, but I think a great warning. The Bible says in the last days, many false prophets will arise. So we can expect a lot of false prophets in the last days. And so the question is going to be, you're going to hear this question, how do we know who's false? How do we know who's real? Well, if it comes to pass, okay, you've got somebody that's probably the real deal. If it doesn't come to pass, ignore them. Have nothing to do with it. And also recognize this. What are some other things? God will never contradict his word. If somebody shows up and says, thus saith the Lord, God is telling you, leave your wife and go, you know, get a new wife. Well, I can tell you on the authority of God's word, that's not God. Because God doesn't change his word. God's word is everlasting. It doesn't change. So if anybody comes and makes a proclamation that goes against the word of God and what you know to be true, ignore that person. Don't be afraid of them. And by the way, also, this really bothers me too. A lot of these false leaders will try to use intimidation so you'll never question them. Don't you dare question a prophet of God. Well, whenever I see one, I won't. But you're not him. You're not him. And I'm not afraid of you. But you need to be afraid of God. Because you're going to stand before him one day. And this is a real deal. This is serious. It's not a game. I'm not trying to get, you know, look spiritual. You better make sure that was God if you're going to say that. Because you're talking to his people. And they're getting direction from you. And so they'll pull that stuff. You know, don't question me. And if you do question them, how dare you question a prophet of God? Or they'll try to use intimidation. Don't be afraid of that, okay? A true prophet of God doesn't have to defend himself that way. You know, Jeremiah didn't say, how dare you question me, Hananiah, and all you people looking at me with the question in your eyes, may you all be struck down. He didn't do that. He said, okay, amen, praise the Lord. If you're telling the truth, it'll be borne out. If I'm telling the truth, it'll be borne out. Let's see what God does. So don't let them use intimidation tactics on you. A lot of times it's simply to control you. You know, again, the cults are famous for this. You know, the cult leaders will put themselves in some position where they are almost God in human form. And the people do any and everything they say. And then by the time the whole thing's going up in flames, sometimes quite literally, a lot of people have died. And people look back and go, wow, how did that ever happen? Because they didn't understand the word of God. And they were intimidated by these false teachers and these people who claim to speak for God. You have the word of God. This is the more sure word of God right here. You've got it. You're holding it, okay? And so God may speak something into your life, a true prophecy. God may tell you something that's going to happen down the road. And it's really the Lord. If somebody tells you that, receive it. And if you've got that gift, don't be afraid to use it. All I'm saying is Be careful how you preface it. Be careful what you're claiming you're speaking, who you're speaking for, and what you're saying, and this kind of stuff. But use the gifts. Don't be afraid of them. And God will show you the proper balance and the way to use them. Because I think that God has shown me things prophetically before. I think I've shared some things prophetically before. You know, but it's not been one of these things where I heard God's voice, and so I'm like, thus saith the Lord, or whatever. But then you see it come to pass, and go, wow, that was the Lord. That was the Lord. You know, I look at one of the things that years ago when this property, I felt like God told me I'm going to use this place as a refuge, you know? And I was like, Lord, it's going to be a refuge. Let's pray for this to be a refuge. And I felt God said that. It's going to be a place of refuge for people. And in my mind, it was because, well, we have some trails and some streams and people can walk around and pray. It's a place to come get away. And what's interesting is now you see what's happening in the nation as a whole, and you're seeing all these spiritual refugees fleeing these other states, right? And they have a place to flee to. Not just here, but God's giving them places, I think, around the country and different churches and places they can flee to and go hear the word of God. God is giving a refuge for his flock. And that again, is how the gift of prophecy works in modern day, where God will speak something in advance and you watch it come to pass, or whatever the case might be. We had somebody one time stand up in an afterglow and say, and we were at the other building down there. This was many years ago. And somebody said that I don't know if we purchased the property or not. We must not have. But they said something like, God is going to use this church, as a city on a hill, to be very seen, and it's going to be it's going to happen. Something's going to happen, and the real confirmation that this is the Lord is going to be in May. It'll happen in May. God's going to confirm it in May. And it wasn't until the church opened up, the first day we had was a Sunday in the 1st of May, as we were up here on top of the hill and we could see over, and that it hit me. You know what? That was God telling us what was going to happen. He was going to give us a prominent place where we could be seen. He was going to start it in May. He gave some very specific details. And again, God does that. He gets very specific about it. And so I want you to know, I'm trying to, as you see now, I'm trying to unscare you from prophecy. This is now where I've gone forward, and I'm going. Don't be afraid of prophecy. Please, 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 please don't be afraid of prophecy. Don't be afraid of a word of knowledge. Don't be afraid of a word of wisdom. Don't be afraid of the gifts. God will never give you something that he didn't intend you to use. And he said, listen, if a son asks for a scorpion or asks for a fish, will he give him a scorpion? He doesn't ask for a scorpion. Can I have a scorpion, Daddy? Yeah, I have three, you know. You've earned them. No, but anyway. If a son asks for bread, will he give him a scorpion? You know, if he asks for, you know, whatever these things, you know, an egg, you know, give him a serpent or whatever, these kind of things. And it's interesting because scorpions and serpents, they represent the demonic realm. And then he goes on and says, so then if you ask the Father for the Holy Spirit, what's the context there? The Holy Spirit. He said, if you ask the Father the Holy Spirit, this is Luke 11. You ask the Father for the Holy Spirit, he's going to give you what you ask for. See, some people say, well, better be careful. If you speak in tongues, it could be demons. Or if you give a prophecy, it could be the enemy. If you open yourself up to whatever God has for you, then the enemy's going to come in and the demonic realm. Nonsense. Now, if you're doing a seance and putting chicken heads around, yeah, the enemy may mess with you, okay? But if you're saying, God, I want everything you have. Here I am. I want you to pour out your spirit on me. I want everything you have. If whatever gift it is, I want it. Then God will give you the gifts he wants you to have, and he will not allow the demonic realm to interfere with that. He will give you that gift, and he'll let you use that gift. So again, don't be afraid to use them. As I said, the reason I spoke so firmly about it, as you guys know, is because I've seen the abuses of it over the years, and now I see it kind of rising up again. You know, it kind of flared up for a while through the 70s and kind of died back down whenever all their prophecies failed, and people figured it out. Well, now it's kind of flaring back up, and everybody's going, oh, yeah, these are prophets. Well, it's going to fail again. And it's these winds of doctrine. They blow through every so often through the church. And those who don't know the word, they get pulled different directions back and forth, and they're not stable. I want us to be stable. I want you to stand on the rock. And so no matter what breeze blows through, you go back to the word of God and say, wait a minute, does God's word say, is this how it's to be done? Is this how the gift is used? Is this the way? What is today? Are there modern day prophets? Are there this, etc.? And so, again, yes, modern day prophecy, gift of prophecy. I think there's even modern day, you could make arguments. Some might have what I would call a gift of apostleship and missions, if you will, but not an apostle like the 12 apostles and all. And there'll be those that claim, well, we're apostles just like the 12 apostles. Well, how come your names aren't written on the 12 sides of the New Jerusalem? Like the 12 that Jesus chose. I guess they are different. So stop saying you're just like them. Anyway, I got to stop. It makes me upset, you can tell. But let's pray and let's ask for God to bless our time, because we're going to hopefully use the gifts here in just a moment. And you know what? If you do something that seems a little, well, you know, oh no, should I say that? I'm not judging you up here. And I'm not going to chase you down. You're among family. You're among friends. We love you. I want you to feel free to use them. And we just receive whatever God's going to say. And we hold it in our heart and we'll see if it's of the Lord. And if you say something that's not, that doesn't come to pass, it doesn't mean you're a false prophet. You didn't say, thus saith the Lord. You're saying, I believe God's saying this. Great. Share it. We want to hear it. Maybe somebody here needs to hear that. I need to hear it. Whatever the case might be, I'm looking forward to what God may say to us tonight. Amen? But let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the instruction you give us in your word. The truth you give us in your word and just the power of your word. God, grow us. We want to be solid. We want to be standing on a firm foundation and not be blown to and fro with every wind of doctrine and those who want to take spiritual authority to themselves that you've not given. And so, Lord, let us be discerning. Let us be wise. But Lord, you also said that if we ask for the gifts, you will give them to us. You will give the Holy Spirit. Lord, how much more will you give it to us if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children? Lord, you're not going to give us a scorpion. You're not going to give us a serpent. You'll give us the bread. Lord, you'll give us your Holy Spirit, that egg, Lord, that old picture of the Trinity. Lord, you'll give us all of that if we simply ask. And so I pray that as we enter into a time of worship, that you would pour out your Spirit on us, God, that you would just minister to us. And really, Lord, I pray that we would minister to you. As we sing to you, as we worship you, and as we get our hearts right, that you'd be ministered to. And then, Lord, you would pour out your Spirit on us and minister, Lord, your love and your grace to us. So we thank you, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.